Dear listener, it's Monday morning, the dreaded beginning of the work week, and Matt and I have some advice for you to make it through the next 5 days on this mini episode of The Working Experience. Enjoy.
The Working Experience.
93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning, snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks, we're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
Need to stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Working Experience Podcast. This is Matty Kay.
And it's John, and welcome to Monday morning, fellow warriors of the work week.
I'm feeling fresh as a daisy because Sunday I worked in a long nap. Very good. Very satisfying.
Listen, naps are very underrated.
Oh, I love naps. I just, you know, kind of letting the old TV drone on and...
Yeah. I like the nap. For me, the perfect nap has a beginning and no hard out. There's just a wide open. And you know, you take your nap, TV's blaring in the background. Maybe you got some crap reality TV going on. Maybe some Kim Kardashian. And then you come back into consciousness and you're like, I can't deal with reality. And then slip back into the nap.
Oh, I love waking up and kind of vaguely looking around and then head back down. That's my favorite. I also like to have an open bag of something, chips or something that I've kind of been eating and that now the crumbs are everywhere. There's something very satisfying about it, you know?
Well, while Matty Kay was taking a nap, I was hustling for the betterment of the working experience. Yeah. Sunday afternoon, I was working on the website, trying to rustle up the developers and designers, trying to get them on the horn on Sunday afternoon, see what's going on, and Matt's snoring away.
We've had a website in development for approximately 18 months now, something along those lines.
Roughly. I don't want to get specific.
It's taken a while.
Roughly. It's taken some time. Well, good things take time.
Hey, listen, I can't be like Gary Vaynerchuk and work 20 hours a day. I gotta ease into things. I gotta take it
real slow.
You know, like you go too fast, you burn out. It's like slipping into a warm bath. You know, we have the master class, we have the Patreon account. All these, they're all simmering on different burners, you know. And
yes, the correct term is simmering.
Varying states of readiness, you know.
And as soon as Matt and I encounter any slight obstacle, it's one step forward, five steps back.
Oh, man. I don't deal well with obstacles and setbacks. I don't deal well with that at all. You know, it was funny. You know, it's Andrew Cuomo, who is the governor of New York.
That is correct.
And Chris Cuomo is... I thought Chris Cuomo was his son. Actually, Chris Cuomo is his brother, who's on CNN.
Correct.
Yeah, and then Mario Cuomo was the father, also governor of New York. And apparently Andrew Cuomo is a rather demanding boss. And what I read about him is he does not like ING. He doesn't like I'm doing it, or it's getting done, or he wants done. Done. He doesn't want... Doesn't want to hear about things in the process. Doesn't want to hear...
A man after my own heart.
See, not me. I'm big on, we're kind of easy. I'm always very vague. Oh, yeah, I'm finishing that up. Or, we're working on some idea. And I have no idea even what the project is. Like, what?
We've definitely started it.
Yeah.
But, we've started it. Now, we need to... My thing is... Yeah, that's a good idea. We got to regroup. We got to recircle the wagons.
Yeah.
Always.
And, right. And usually I throw out things like, we started in one direction, then I realized that we weren't really, it wasn't going to tackle the needs. So we're trying to move. We had to kind of scrap some of the things we did. This is all, of course, complete bullshit. I haven't done anything. Oh, yeah. I don't even know what the project is.
Matt is the master of the pivot.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We started out with this idea, but we had to pivot.
Right.
This could be like the 100th time you've pivoted.
There's no pivot. There's no nothing. There isn't anything. I haven't done anything. I'm just like, what is going on? You know what I love is receiving the email that will say, this is a follow-up to my email about, and I don't even know what the original email was. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, what are we doing? And then I'll have to like...
Well, they should have. If they're sending you a follow-up email, they should have the decency and the courtesy to keep it on that email chain. So if someone like said, hey, Matt, we wanted you to deliver this project. It's 180 days late. And they get no response from you.
Nothing.
They would then just... reply to that thread or forward that thread to you and say, Matt, I'm following up on this.
Right. This is now 230 days overdue. And I'm like, what project are we talking about? That does happen, though. I mean, in all seriousness, like I'll get an email from someone who I don't even know who this person is. And it's supposedly something that I'm supposed to, was supposed to be doing. And I'm like, who is this person? Like, I have no idea. And then a lot of times if I ignore it, I never hear about it again. So that's also good. Good technique.
That's a bonus. But there, it's actually an email ploy that unscrupulous individuals will put in the, subject message like, you missed this deadline, or you were late, or this is past due, or whatever, the amount of spam I get that's trying to trigger a response from me.
Yeah, well, if it's at work, that always works on me, because I just figured I did miss a deadline, or I haven't done the project, whatever it was.
Out with the credit card numbers being entered.
Oh, I love getting these things in the mail. It'll say, please respond immediately. Or your signature is required, and they make it look like some sort of official document. You open it up, and it's like for life insurance or something. And it's like, good Lord. Like they always make it seem like I don't want to throw it away right out of hand because, it might be from, I don't know, whoever, my bank, the IRS, I don't know what it is. And then it's like, signing up for the Staples reward card or something. And it's like, time sensitive. They always like they love stamping that time sensitive. Like I've got to respond to this,
right? Which is just total crap.
Yeah, but I will have to say the amount of robocalls have kind of dissipated. But my mother told me she was reading. She gets this like senior citizens magazine. And it's to be on the watch out. And I think she actually got one of these calls. I left a message. They're like, your social security number has been compromised. Please call us. And what eventually happens is they trick old people into giving them their social security numbers. And they'll say like...
Full disclosure, that was me
calling right.
mom with the social security. She's like... I think I recognize your voice. I'm like, no, you don't.
Actually, you say, like, Mrs. Kerr, we've met before. John, yeah, listen, I work for and I'm like, Mom, if John calls, don't give him any personal information.
Do not. That's what I like to do. I, like, a lot of these scammers like to hit up, like, the call from China, people they don't know. I like to go with people I know.
Sure.
Like I'm really good friends with.
Right.
I'll call up their relatives.
Yeah.
And I'll hit them up.
Or you'll be like...
I'll scam them.
You're like, yeah, Matt didn't want to tell you, but he's having some financial problems. He wanted to go through me to give... So if you send me the check...
Right. Yeah, Mrs. Kerr did... Did Matt talk to you about the investment opportunity for the Working right. Experience podcast?
Oh, he's very excited.
He didn't tell you about that?
Oh, well, let me... Don't tell him we talked, okay?
But... Yeah, right. No, don't... Yeah, don't tell him we talked. He was nervous about asking you for the $10,000. he wanted me to call you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't want to. Well, my approach is a little more direct. I just call him like, Mr. Brancaccio, I'm really in deep here. Mr. Brancaccio, your son has racked up gambling debts, and he doesn't want to come talk to you about it. So if you just wire me cash, that'll be a lot easier.
I'll help him. This will all disappear.
And everybody wins. But, you know, I really, in all seriousness, I can see a heroin addict mugging an old lady for $20. Not that I condone it, but, like, the person is sick. I mean, it's terrible, but they're sick and they're out of their mind, you know, they need that. But for somebody to have just the absolute lack of conscience to know you are scaring an old lady into giving up her personal information so you can take her life savings and leave her destitute.
Hey, it's all about the hustle, Matt.
I guess.
You're what's that phrase? You're not seeing the leaves for the trees or whatever it is?
You're losing the forest for the trees. Big picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Big picture, Matt.
Yeah.
Big picture. Actually, a friend that I grew up with and I knew in grammar school and high school has actually tragically passed away. About 3 or 4 years out of college, called my dad up to sell him roofing, like to get a new roof on the house.
Yeah.
And my dad calls me up and he's like, so-and-so called me to sell me a new roof. And I was like, you, first of all, to sell my dad anything. My dad would not, I mean, he gets upset about like not getting the correct change from the supermarket. Like,
right.
You're not selling this guy a new, he'll get up on the roof and like start stapling burlap to the roof before he buys a new roof. But again, like, my friend didn't reach out to me. He just reached out directly to my dad, like I do with your mom.
Yeah,
I don't even talk to you about it. I just go directly to her.
Yeah, that's a little grimy to do. Did your father, my father, would check, he would spend a good amount of time looking at the receipt from the grocery store. And
always thinking he got screwed.
And
it
gave him no greater pleasure to then walk over to the manager and be like, this is incorrect, or I was double charged for this. And, you know, I'd be standing with the carriage like, oh my God, like you would go again. just made his night. It just made his night to catch him out at something. Already assuming they've screwed him. Already assuming.
Yeah, that was my dad. The world's out to get him.
And if he didn't catch it, it was just they screwed him and he couldn't figure it out, which made him mad. It was like, you know, oh, God damn it. You know, it was great. There's this restaurant up in Sugar Hill, New Hampshire, called Polly's Pancake Parlor, which is kind of a landmark in New England. A lot of people like
to go up there. Hey, shout out to Polly's Pancake Parlor.
Yeah. They have really great breakfasts and they've been there for a long, long time. Well, my father would never eat there because, like, one time me and my mom and my brother were in there. And he always just thought it was kind of overpriced and whatnot. But, you know, we would go eat as a treat. And he came in once. He was, like, coming back from playing tennis. And he came in just to let us know he was going to be back up at the house or something. And he goes to leave. And they accused him of trying to leave without paying his check. Like, he was sneaking out without paying. They were like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, did you? And, I mean, he, like, kind of blew up at the woman and just kind of solidified. He's like, I'm not eating there. And I'm like, well, you weren't going to eat there anyway because he said it's too expensive. And he's like, but now I'm really not going to eat there.
I would have loved to have been there when the accusation flew.
Like a 45-year-old, almost 50-year-old, maybe, man is accused of running on the check. Isn't that good? I've always liked the 99 restaurant because they advertise if the Red Sox win, the kids eat free.
Nice.
And dad's there watching TV like, come on, man. You got to get this in.
we're going to go in there. He's already starved the family for the past 4 days.
Yeah.
In the hopes that they're going to win. And then you're going to belly up to that restaurant.
If they don't win, kids, macaroni and cheese. Sorry. Well, back to Monday. you could be like, we'll get more into this article on a longer podcast, but it says here that in other countries, very productive countries, they only work 30 hours a week. Now, that's only 10 more hours than Gary Vaynerchuk works in a day, but they're getting it done.
Week. What nations are these? The Scandinavian countries?
Luxembourg is the one they're talking about here.
Week.
Yeah.
Week.
Yeah. I don't care if you're getting anything done. You just need to be in that office 20 hours a day.
There's always an opportunity to further your career when you're on, when you're at the office, like home dirt. You're smoozing, talking it up. You're getting FaceTime. You're glad handing. Just because you're not doing quote unquote actual work, you're still pushing that ball forward.
Yeah, and I've always liked the term. The first time I heard it, FaceTime. And, you know, I think my brother used it, and I was like, what does that mean? And he said, a meeting where you meet somebody face-to-face called FaceTime. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I'm glad they came up with some new BS jargon for meeting someone face-to-face. Yeah, hey, well...
Some people, you gotta, crack that shell. Yeah. You gotta get in there. You gotta get in there deep and tight.
Do they still have...
Work your magic.
Do people go out for, meetings over lunch? Does that still go on?
Yes, it does.
Ah, that would make me a little... I think I would have a little trouble enjoying my meal if I had to, sit there and answer questions and, I don't know, deal with business while I'm trying to stuff my face. But
that's really on you, because every meal is an opportunity for you to gouge yourself
and also get into arguments over who gets the last chicken wing or something like that.
You always have to leave the last chicken wing. I actually don't mind lunch meetings. That doesn't, or like a coffee meeting or
coffee meeting's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Lunch meeting's fine. I don't mind it at all.
I don't have time. I don't have time for all that. I want to get to the nitty-gritty, 15, 20 minutes, bang, we're in, we're out, we're done. Okay? Move on to the next thing.
Well, what I do is I put a cooking timer on the table, and I set it to 10 minutes.
Done.
And once that thing dings,
yeah,
I'm out. Yeah. What do you need? Yeah. What do you want? What can you give me? Because once this thing dings, Johnny's off to the next meeting.
Yeah.
Because I got to work. I'm not here to ask you how your family is, how your weekend is, how's the wife. Put it in an email, which I won't read, but send it to me anyway, because this is it's just a waste of my time.
Well, this is kind of what this guy's name is Benjamin Hardy, PhD, who wrote this. And that's kind of what he's getting to, is like quality versus quantity, which is... I think what we've talked about, somebody claims they work 20 hours a day. It's like, well, what are you actually doing that is of quality 20 hours a day? If you work I think it's like sprinting versus, running a marathon. Like you spend your time, you focus your time, you get it done. I mean, we taught Charles Darwin apparently worked 3 to 4 hours a day, but that was all work. Like he was intensely focused on what he was doing.
Yeah, most people are checking their social media feeds. I like the PhD. Yeah. What would stop me from just tacking that on? John Brancaccio, PhD. Who's going to call me out on that?
You can get business cards made up and easily just... We were talking about this because we read... I forget what the book was this year, but... I found this documentary about this guy who called himself Clark Rockefeller, and he was from Germany originally, and he impersonated different people, and he was actually convicted of murder finally, but he would just, make up names and make up business cards. He was in California for a while, then he was in Greenwich, Connecticut, and then he was in Manhattan, and he just called himself Clark Rockefeller, and nobody questioned it. Guy was married. His wife thought he was Clark Rockefeller. It was the craziest story. And what he would do to make contacts, he would go to the Episcopal Church, because that's where all the very kind of wealthy, powerful people go. He would go to the one in Greenwich, Connecticut. He went to the one on Madison Avenue, because actual Rockefellers go there. When he lived in Beverly Hills, he did the same thing. And people just believed him, because he had kind of a European accent. And he just presented himself as, you know, he wasn't always Clark Rockefeller. That was kind of his last incarnation. But, yeah. So there's nothing to prevent you from doing that. And
okay, from this day forward, PhD.
John Brancaccio, PhD. Yeah. I mean, if you know some of the jargon of...
Oh, Matt, you know, do I know the jargon? I can bullshit with the best of them.
Sling it all around. Yeah. I mean, if you do probably a half hour of research into any of these things, it's just...
I could give a speech.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, having that in mind as you glide into this Monday, don't be afraid to present yourself as something you absolutely are not.
That's a brilliant way to put it. How do you cut the corners of life?
Well, isn't that what most people do, though? I mean, it's like fake it till you make it kind of thing. Yeah.
It's not fake it till you make it. It's fake it till you make it and then continue to fake it.
And keep faking it. Yeah, like someone said, you know, never tell your boss, I don't know. It's always, I'll find out, or I'm on that, or whatever. I'm perfectly...
Oh, I know, I know. How many times have you heard, I know, I know?
Yeah, well, I usually just shrug my shoulders, and I don't even really say, I don't know. I just kind of mumble something.
It's a blank stare.
I just shrug. I don't even bother with, I don't know. Like, where's that presentation? I'm flying out to San Francisco in 2 hours. You said you were going to have that done. And I just shrug, like... I don't even
know. Looking directly at you, you're looking around like, you're looking at me? Yeah. And you were the only one assigned the project. And like, this is news to you. Like, yeah, there's been multiple meetings on it. There's been 1,000 emails. and the presentation is due. And it's just like, whoa, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. I didn't know I was responsible for this.
Wait, here's always a good response. You were serious about that?
I thought we were joking.
Oh, seriously?
I thought that was like sarcasm.
You're really going out to San Francisco? Oh, geez. I thought you were like going out to a gay nightclub or something. Okay. Well, I'll see what I can slap together.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
I'll get right on it, but... 2 hours, huh? Oh, boy. Well, all right.
Yeah. It might not be pretty, but I'll get you something.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, folks, just, hey, listen, I'll expound on this more next time, but don't underestimate the power of the shrug.
the shrug is very powerful. It's like, you know, when a butterfly bats their wings, it causes a typhoon halfway across the world.
Yeah.
The shrug could do the same.
You know what I like? It communicates, I don't know, and I don't care. two for one. I don't know.
And it's also a silent go F yourself.
Right. Oh, totally. Totally. Like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't remember what you talked about. I didn't listen to anything you said.
I wasn't in the room. So. I wasn't in the state. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No idea what you're talking about. I thought Jeff was supposed to coordinate that.
Look over at Jeff. That was Jeff's job. Wasn't mine.
Jeff or Stephanie? Don't they coordinate that? Okay.
Jeff was fired 3 months ago. you have no idea.
There is no Jeff. There's no Stephanie. I thought Julie was supposed to do that. Who's Julie? Julie Roslin.
You're naming people that you've played Fortnite with.
Right.
Last night.
No idea.
These people do not work with you.
No, not at all.
It wasn't Stacy 348 supposed to do that?
Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, I'm mixing up. Hey, you know what? I'll remember. I don't know why. When you said Stacy 348, I thought of it. When I was in graduate school, and the professor was talking to us about applying for jobs. And there were kids in there who were like 18, 19, 20 years old. And he said, well, no, most of them were probably seniors. And they were taking education courses. And he said, look, when you go to apply for jobs, and if you have some like funky, playful nickname on your email, Like, you need to change that, you know, because, like, it's just not professional.
Monkeyballs21 at Yahoo.
No, this is what I'm remembering. Our friend Frank, his email, it would not shock me if this was still his email. His email was cockyballs269 at Yahoo.
That's right. That's right. No, I think I actually had a conversation with him, and he gave up that email, and he said it's one of the biggest regrets of his life.
Yeah. You mean in a professional setting he gave that out?
No, he just canceled it because he wasn't using Yahoo anymore. He was using Gmail.
Gave it up. Yeah.
He gave it up. Yeah. And he said it's one of the biggest regrets in his life.
That was a good one. Cockyballs26. Imagine putting that on a resume right at the top. Cockyballs269.
Hey, Frank, what's your email? We're really interested in hiring you. All right. It's cockyballs.
C-O-C-K-Y. number 2, then number 6, then number 9 at Yahoo.
That's spelled like cock. Like right. The actual cock.
With a Y. And then balls. Right. Cocky balls. Too. I started laughing because I don't, it just popped into my head immediately. Cocky balls 269. So, all right, folks, have a wonderful week. We'll be back at you with full podcast this week to, not only keep your spirits up, but to help you navigate this complicated place we call work.
And I would counter that and say we're going to come out with a podcast to dampen your spirits and
we'll
depress
too.
You so you can crawl through the work week.
And probably give you advice that will eventually get you fired or more quickly than eventually get you fired. Like the
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Enjoy your week.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.